You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Friday morning, March the 26th, 2021. It is DCR with you. Oh, my goodness. What a night if you root for teams that play in Madison Square Garden. I guess the Islanders, too. The little Islanders had a nice win as well last night. But, the Rangers pouring goal after goal on the Flyers again. And the Knicks were dead and buried and come back. And they didn't even play well last night. And they came back and beat the Washington Wizards. So just a great night all around for the locals. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. Hope you and Rico are doing well. But Dave, before we dive into the sports, I got to ask you, what happened when you had Diana Rossini on yesterday? The guys on the K-Show were talking about it yesterday afternoon. Like, what happened with that
interview?
Nothing
happened. Nothing happened. I was having fun. I was joking around. I said to RJ before the interview, you know what, RJ, she just got married. He's like, yeah, you could have some fun with that. And maybe, I'm not even going to say I did anything wrong, but Rick's reaction and this whole take that he's a great teammate, please, it's out the window. This whole, well, I'm a great teammate. Great teammates don't throw other teammates under the bus. Every minute of the K-Show, Rick just said this. Rick just said this. This is a bet if Harden wins the MVP. Naked Rothenberg, they said this. He said this. You are an embarrassment of a teammate is what you are. So I don't even know that I was wrong. If you want to say I was wrong for the word lurking, that'd be the only thing that I could take the L for. But Rick has shown his true colors. He claims to be a great teammate. That is not true.
Diana, no, you know I'm a great teammate.
I have been lurking.
Yeah, who says that? I'm going to have some fun with it. You're going to have to define fun for me because you almost, before the interview even started, almost had Diana Rossini so creeped out that
she
just hung up.
She talked to RJ after. She's like, oh, that was fun. She's like, that was really great. Thank you. She enjoyed the interview. Rossini. Diana, I have been lurking, not strangely, but lurking on social media, and I noticed that you got married over the pandemic, so congratulations to you.
Dave,
the creeper.
Where is she supposed to take that, though, Dave? Like, what did you expect her to do? How did you expect her to respond?
She responded lovely. She was like, oh, thank you so much. I got married. It was great. We talked about her marriage for a couple minutes. She was not... I tell you this, and RJ and Ray can confirm this, she was not at all turned off by anything that was said until Mr. Let Me Throw You Under the Bus said, how could you ask her that question? What an awful way to start the interview to her. True or not true, Rick?
False.
Oh,
false.
My God.
RJ, a long pause.
RJ. Now, I know that you think for the show it's fun and all that stuff, but until he said anything, was there any hesitation or awkward silence or pauses by the wonderful Diana Rossini? Diana, did you at all take it in a negative light that I asked and was pleased and congratulated you on your nuptials?
So
that's a problem, Dave.
Not a problem.
And that is a problem.
It's not. You guys are setting me up. You know what? I'm done.
Dave,
you know what?
Did you not hear how she reacted, Dave? She reacted. She's like, well.
Did you hear? When That about 30 seconds later, she says, oh, I was just kidding. She's like, no, of course. It was great. It was fun. Thanks for having me
okay,
on.
Dave. All right. Maybe that's just Diana being a good sport because that's just who she is. But who says I'm lurking on your social media?
I was having fun.
Nobody refers to themselves as
joking
lurking.
Around.
Lurking has a negative connotation. Why would you make our guests feel even just the slightest bit uncomfortable?
All right. I'm gonna bow out of interviews from now on. You guys can run them.
Why do you always do this? Like, I don't understand.
I'm sick of being the guy that no matter what I do or what I say or I'm trying to have fun or bring you guys down an entertaining path, it's look at what Rothenberg has done now. And, oh, Rick just texted me this, and he's going to do this, and can you believe this? You know what? Just let me be. Just leave me alone. Let me be. I'm sick of being the fodder. You guys can just go back and forth with your long-winded answers and set each other up for your deep thought analysis, and I will bow out of the show.
Rico, he does this every time. I don't know how to manage Dave when he gets into this type of mode. I don't. Like, it's always playing the victim. He never once owns it when he makes this kind of mistake.
Well,
like,
I didn't make
wrong.
A mistake. If you guys
that
were saying anything
wrong,
I shouldn't have used the word lurking.
You
fine.
Should not have used the word lurking.
Fine. Is it that big a deal? Sherry said, after the show, she goes, why do they make such a big deal? And it was nothing. You did nothing wrong. It was nice. He asked her about the wedding. She didn't think it was a big deal. Until Rick brought it up, nobody. Nobody thought it was a big deal.
She's immune to the creepiness. Right now.
She should have known. I mean, I could only imagine Dave's pickup lines. Hey, I was just wondering, will you be walking to your car by yourself later? Because I'll be in the parking lot waiting.
All right.
I'll be here lurking in the parking lot. Just let me know.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm just connecting dots. I'm just starting to connect the dots.
Come through my window.
So I creep. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to disconnect. You guys, carry it. Go ahead. Carry it.
Nobody else supposed to know. Hey, I know, Sherry, this is our first phone call, but I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry you, Sherry.
Oh, yeah, that was awful because that didn't work out well.
Creeper. Creeper, Rico.
Oh, we want to go to places that are uncomfortable? Is that where we want to go?
You took it there, Dave. It's not
I didn't take it there. You took it there. You brought it back up. I'll tell you what. At least I was on the show yesterday. At least I did the show yesterday. I didn't go to another show.
Don't take low blows.
You haven't been. I've been on the show half the week this week. Half the week. I don't even know. I connected yesterday. I asked RJ, is Chris even on the show today? I don't know when you're on the show.
I was on the show, damn it. I told you I would be on the show Wednesday. I was on the show. I got up an hour earlier so I can get my ass to the seaport to make sure I was there with you guys. Don't you start with me today, Rothenberg. Just because you make things creepy.
You started with me. You're a bad guy. You started with me.
I had to ask. The guys on the K show made a big deal out of it.
Why did they make it? No.
I didn't know
what
the hell was going on.
No.
My own show.
No, because the puppeteer. No, because the puppeteer led Michael here. He brought it up to Peter. And Peter goes, and I'm sure you guys will say this isn't true. Peter says, that's it. That's Michael, you said this was going to be something great. That's a nothing. That's not even a story. Is that true, Rick, or is that untrue?
Well, no, that's true because they didn't play the entire clip. They didn't play Diana's response.
Oh, here we go.
Well, so no,
Peter's like, that's it. He's like, that's no. it. That's all.
That's
all
it because
so you. That's fine. Let's spend the entire 3 hours of our show. I don't want to talk to Buster only. I don't want to talk to anybody else. I don't want to get to know your co-host. I mean, I need to know him. He's never on the show, so I'm glad they can't. You're with us the full 3 hours today, right, Chris?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
I mean, I don't know.
You see what he's doing? He's deflecting now.
Yeah,
he's
this
deflecting.
Has a real...
He doesn't want to deal with his issues of being a creeper, being a weirdo, so he just deflects it and says, oh, well, you weren't on the show, so what does it matter to you?
What does it matter to
it
you?
Does
what do
matter
you care?
To me.
You're
we
not
have
committed
a
to the show. You knew any
streets,
other show that comes
Dave
to you.
Rothenberg.
KJZ, get up.
I don't want to be the sports talk show that has the creepy tendencies. Who wants to be that show?
This has a real, you guys want to talk about the Knicks or you just want to continue this?
This has a real Price is Right feel to it right now. Real Price is Right feel.
And don't, really, from now on, if I have to hear I'm a great teammate, please. I mean, really. Really.
What do you mean? It's great. Listen, publicity is good publicity. Any publicity is good publicity.
I don't disagree with that. Any publicity is good publicity. But stop with the I'm a great teammate. You got to stop with that. It's embarrassing at this point. I mean, really, I'm a great teammate.
The best is, as I'm texting Cam, getting texts from you, that's it, I'm done. You do the show tomorrow by yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's like, oh, God, here we go. It never goes away. Because once you rile up Kay, I mean, it's unbelievable. And then Peter and Don, both of them are like, this is Don, Michael, this is no big deal. And you're just like, oh, God. You just keep texting and texting and texting until he finally takes the bait.
I think it's good for our show.
Okay.
I do. Okay. I'm sorry if I'm trying to make our show better by having them talk about you on the K show. I apologize. It'll never happen again. Stop being such a baby.
I'm a baby. You're a baby. How am I a baby? Anything that happens that goes wrong with you, it keeps you up for days. You're a neurotic mess, and yet you go after other people like this.
I'm deflecting.
would it be okay to get to the Knicks, or is that a weird?
No, we have to talk about the Knicks. No, that, I mean, as bad as that was in the first three quarters, the first half was atrocious.
Awful.
I mean, that was, I get it. Listen, I mean, look, in theory,
they looked like they had nothing last night.
I mean, you heard some of the stats last night. I mean, it's not easy when you're playing a team back-to-back to sweep the two games. Right?
Especially after you blow them out in the first one.
Exactly right. And the Knicks looked, I mean, first half, I mean, even into the third quarter, I mean, they were shooting, like, 30%. They were awful.
It was awful. They couldn't hit a three. Wide open threes.
They were 1-for-14 in the first half. They started off 1-of-17. They weren't hitting free throws. And then, I mean, I think it was R.J. Barrett at the end of the third quarter. You saw the emotion. You saw how fired up he was. And then, I mean, between him, Taj Gibson was great.
He was really good last night, yes.
Quickly, and then Alec Burks again was awesome. And they hit big free throws late to ice the game.
Yeah, I mean, they played great in that fourth quarter. I want to say they outscored the Wiz 39-24 in that fourth quarter, and you got 23 points from Alec Burks and R.J. Barrett combined. So those two guys stepped up in a major way, especially in a night where Julius Randle didn't have his A game. So, I mean, this wasn't a pretty game, but this is the reason why we believe in Tibbs and what he was preaching to this team, because on nights when you're not shooting well, when you're offensively challenged a little bit, this is when you can keep the game close and give yourself an opportunity late. And they stayed within striking distance. Julius Randle was talking about it in the post game last night. They just wanted to cut it to around 10 or 11 points going into the fourth quarter to give themselves a chance. That's exactly what they did. And then they were able to execute down the stretch. You had back-to-back big threes by R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley to tie the game up and then to take the lead. And then, of course, the Knicks were in control from there on out. But that was a really impressive win just because they didn't play well on the offensive end and their defense gave them a chance late, and they came through.
They were dreadful. Couple things. Washington stinks. I mean, they are horrendous. And thank God, and you wanted this, and you were trying to get everybody on your side. Thank God they didn't make a play for Russell Westbrook. He can't shoot. He's still athletic, and he can still make plays, and he still can rebound the ball, but he is one of the worst shooters I have ever seen. I mean, he's one of the few guys, like the few guys that are 6'5 or under, that every time they go to the line, I'm like, there's no way they're going to make both shots. He is a terrible shooter.
Well, he didn't make a shot in the second half of the game.
Terrible.
And then you just let him go Tasmanian devil style late. I mean, he hoisted up a couple awful shots late in that game, too. But I mean, athletically, though, he is still a different speed than everybody else.
Yes.
But he's got to get to a point where he's got to realize, like, listen, I mean, I got to be more.
He's got to learn to shoot the ball.
Or just facilitate the offense. Because he puts a ton of pressure on a defense. He can break down a defense. But he just insists on shooting. And Brad Beal didn't shoot well either. I mean, Brad Beal shot awful yesterday, too.
Nobody shot well yesterday.
Terrible.
Nobody.
Alec Burks was so good. And you know what's nice? Because Randle was, and I'm not blaming him, and I know he's a little banged up, and he must be worn down. He was bad last night.
Yeah, but he hit two big shots late in that game.
He did. The fadeaway on the right baseline was a big shot. But you could see, I haven't seen this from him once the entire year. He didn't want to shoot the ball. Like, late fourth quarter, he would have time. He would have a one-on-one setup, and he looked to pass the ball. He didn't want any part of shooting the ball. He knew it was not his night. But the other guy stepped up. I mean, quickly made a couple of big shots. Burks was sensational yet again. And this is what – and I don't know that they're a great team, certainly, but this is what good teams do. They don't play well, and they find a way. And I'll say two things. They are fun. They are entertaining. And they're a pretty good basketball team right now.
Yeah, but isn't that the key to the second half is just taking care of your business?
Mm-hmm.
And because they play great defense, I mean, it gives them a chance in these games when they don't shoot well to find a way. And again, I mean, Allen was going through some of the stats during the post game as far as, you know, when was the last time they scored 39 points in a fourth quarter and actually won a game? I think he said the last time was 2012. that they did that.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago and actually won. So, I mean, yeah, this is, again, I mean, if you're a Knicks fan and you don't love every second of what you're seeing, and there's some things that obviously, you know, bother you a little bit, right? I mean, it's just every fan will find, you know, some things about their team that bother them a little bit. But again, I mean, this is, you're talking about a team that before the season started was, I think their win total in Vegas was 22.5.
They're already over it.
For the entire season. And they're right in the middle of the, like, this is a playoff. This will be a playoff team.
Yes. So you finally say it, right? I said it months ago and I got mocked and made fun of like I typically am. But you finally agree with me. This is a playoff team, correct?
Well, here's the thing, though. How are we defining it? Because the NBA is not defining it.
If you're top... Well, I would...
No, because the NBA is not defining it as a play. You're not a playoff team if you lose in the play-in game.
Yeah, that would be tough for me. Like, for the Knicks to have this kind of season and not get into an actual playoff series to get ousted in a play-in tournament, I would feel a way about that if I was a Knicks fan. Like, I feel like this team, the way that they've played all season long, you want to see them actually get into a playoff series.
Absolutely, you do. But if they now, if you're the higher seed, you have to win one, and the other team has to win two, right?
Yep.
Listen, I hope that they're going to be the seven or the eight there.
Hopefully they're the six. I mean, hopefully they end up at
the six. Well, of course. Seed. But if they were going to be in that situation, you'd hope that they have to win the one as opposed to the two. Listen, if they didn't get into a full playoff series, if they're a top 10 team. With the expectation of what we had, I'd be a little disappointed now.
You'd be disappointed.
I still think that would be a success.
No, big picture, it's a step in the right direction. But based on what we saw the first half of this season, like coming out of it, we were expecting that they would make a playoff push and actually be in a playoff series. Now, we don't expect them to advance into the second round of the playoffs, but we just think the win is getting to the playoffs. And if they don't make that jump, like, that would be disappointing seeing as how the season started. That's all I'm saying.
This has been a sensational first half plus of the season for the Knicks.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Sir Buster only, 6:30 this morning. Do you realize we are 6 days away from the start of the Major League Baseball season? 6 days away.
The anthem of one Dave Rothenberg.
Oh, it's not going to go away with you, huh?
No, it's not going to go away.
How long do you have to deal with
this? This will be a theme of the entire show.
The whole show?
Maybe for the next couple weeks.
Weeks. I didn't say it there. You took it there. You brought it back up. You started with me. Why did they make it? No. No, in fact, they didn't.
I didn't know what the hell was going on with my own show.
Let's really break down what lurking is. Let's go to the definition. Remaining hidden so as to wait in ambush.
Well, you're not going to ambush someone on social media. I was looking at her pictures when she was posting them on Twitter.
But you can use social media to get the information to ambush her.
That's a bad thing? RJ saw it. I said to RJ, did she get married during the pandemic? He's like, I think so.
Yeah, but it was months ago. I mean, you might as well have wished her a Merry Christmas, too, while you were at it.
Have you talked to her? So I congratulate her on getting married, and I'm some kind of a villain? Yeah, how awful of me.
You could have said perusing. Like,
I just saw on social media that
married? You want to take exception with the word lurking? Fine. But it's not like my intent was so awful.
I'm not saying your intent was awful, Dave. We just want you to admit it. We want the confession that it was a poor choice of words.
That you made the interview
uncomfortable.
I don't think the interview was remotely uncomfortable. Okay. In fact, she gave us some great information about the Jets. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, if you want to say I used the word poorly, I will give you that. But I don't feel badly about it.
Making our guests feel uncomfortable.
She was not uncomfortable.
Then telling the listeners that I've moved on. She says, I don't know what the hell was going on after I jumped off the show yesterday.
Well, then you shouldn't leave. Obviously, without you here, you're like my voice of reason. Without you here, it all goes to you know what.
Listen, when Greeny calls, you got to step up. You got to come out of the bullpen. What do you want me to do?
So you like Greeny more than us.
I'm not saying that. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is, if you want your career at ESPN to go the right way, if Mike Greenberg asks you to be on your show, that's what you're going to do.
All right, question for you now. What happens if Greeny says, I'd like you a second day during the week? You're doing such a great job on Thursdays. Join me on Tuesdays as well.
Dave, what do you want me to answer a hypothetical for? I don't know what happens. That's above my pay grade. I just do what I'm asked to do at the company. What do you want from me?
By the way, Canty has moved on. Not in a negative way. It's not like he's.
Yeah, you see, he's just such a bad guy. He tried to kill me off like he did Magic Johnson.
You went to a different show.
He tried to kill me off like he did Magic.
Nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Magic, I really killed off. I didn't kill you off. I said you moved on. You moved on to a different show.
Mm. In other news, just so you guys know, in other news, too, Diana Rossini just purchased a Ring doorbell cam and also upped her ADT. Just in case Dave's lurking anywhere.
So this is just not, I should just settle in. This is the way it's going to be, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you're like, essentially what you've become is like, you're like the Rick Pitino of radio hosts.
Oh, wow.
Where you just pop up. Hey, I noticed you're going for a run. Care for me to join you?
Maybe I learned from him. What's troubling to me is this is now not going to go away for the entire show. Like, the Knicks have, you could argue, their best win of the season. Sensational win, down from 19 all the way back, get the win, didn't even play well, and this is going to dominate the show. It pains me. It upsets me. Well, if this was a slow day, I would love it.
You did to yourself, Rothenberg. That's all I can say. You did it to yourself.
Are we not at the point where enough is enough would be my question.
I think just one more. Lurking of a pleasant of an unpleasant quality, present in a latent or barely discernible state, although still presenting a threat. I mean, just telling you, this is the definition of this word.
I'm a baby. You're a baby. That's a great drop. That's a funny drop. what is the point? Like, at what point does it stop? Keep going. What else do you have? More definition?
No, it's out of my
sound. What else do you have?
Out of my system. Out of my system.
It's not out of your system. No, get it all out. Let's flush it. Let's make this like the verbal enema. Let's get it all out. Finish it. What else you got?
No, I got nothing else. I got to save it. I have to save it.
No, I don't want you to save it. Let's go. Get it out.
I don't want to get rid of all of it. I mean, still got 2.5 hours of show left. The people in the 6 o'clock hour need to hear some of this. The 7 o'clock hour need to hear some of this.
So we're going to save it all the way through.
What are you going to ration? We got to ration a little bit, Dave.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Buster only. We can lurk on Buster a little bit.
Yeah, but if Chris isn't here at 6 o'clock, he's going to miss the fun. If Greeny calls, then I don't. What happens to Chris?
Oh man, you're too much. Listen. The past is in the past, okay? Let's forget that happened and you try to kill Chris off. He gave us an hour, which was nice of him. Let's move on. Right. Let's move on.
Can we
let's
get talk to about the, Knicks? Can we get to the Knicks, please? Can we get to Lonnie in Harlem? Lonnie, I apologize. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Lurkingberg, no need to apologize. Good morning, family. How are we?
What's up, Lonnie?
Lurkingberg, you gotta choose your words a little more carefully when you're doing an interview, especially with a female. Especially. Now, if you would have said that to Buster only, you know, it would have still sounded a little suspect, but talking to Diana Rossini like that, come on. You gotta cut it out. Like
Nicole, I don't think she had a problem with it. I really don't. In fact, I think she was taken by me, to be honest.
The printer, Dave. She brought up the printer. Come on, cut it out. I called. And Canty, I appreciate you always going on Greeny. Don't listen to Dave, but don't spread yourself a little too thin. Because yesterday on Greeny, you said, "If you ever need me, I'll be here." I don't need you on Greeny every day. I need you on DCR every day, and I need you to extend your time on Thursdays because 1 hour was not enough of you yesterday. But how about the Knicks last night? I know it was only the Washington Wizards and everything like that. But what a comeback. Randle playing a little banged up. He hit those two little jump shots. I mean, and R.J. Barrett has come alive. I think since the last time when I made that call and I said, do you guys think he's gotten to that point? I think he's gotten to that point. And Toppin got a nice little quick little steal that actually helped the Knicks go on that run last night. So shout out to Toppin. I didn't mean to, bust his chops yesterday, but he has to get with it. And once again, you guys make my mornings every day. And I can't say enough about you guys. I love you guys so much.
Oh, that's nice, Lonnie. We appreciate you. Thanks so much. I mean, he's becoming our guy, our caller in the mornings here on 98.7 ESPN. Toppin, you know what I liked? at least it didn't fall apart when Toppin came into the game. Like, they actually had their comeback when Toppin was in the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, he stepped in, but that's, I mean, that's right now, unfortunately, that's what his role is. Is because Julius Randle, I mean, he emerged as, he's clearly the best player on the team. He's an all-star. He's playing at an all-star level, right? Mm-hmm. So when he's not banged up, when he's right, I mean, you're going to need Obi to step in and give Julius Randle the opportunity to at least rest for a couple minutes and, not, like you said, not have the whole thing fall apart. But, I mean, yeah, he played 11 minutes last night. You could tell Julius Randle was banged up. It looked like he hurt his quad. So hopefully that isn't something that lingers. But, I mean, to Lonnie's point about R.J. Barrett, yeah, I mean, the kid is... I think we forget sometimes that he's only 20 years old.
Mm.
But, I mean, you can tell he's putting the work in. And last night, I thought emotionally at the end of the third quarter, you saw how animated he was to end the third quarter. I thought that was part of the catalyst to get them going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, just after looking at him last year, there's no way I would have thought that R.J. Barrett was going to be capable of being the second leading scorer on a playoff team this season in his second year. I just didn't see that coming. But, I mean, there's been a huge amount of growth that's taken place in the last couple of months. And, I mean, the kid is... He's growing up before our eyes. He's maturing into the player that the Knicks thought he had the potential to be when they drafted him with the third overall pick. And so I was probably one of those folks that was on the bandwagon of trying to include him in a package to move him for, you know, an all-star or an all-NBA caliber player. But after seeing what he's done the last few weeks, I just think R.J. Barrett is going to be one of those foundational pieces for this Knicks team. And I absolutely think that you can win and win at a high level. They still got to add some more stuff. I think they need like one of those third all-star caliber player. But I just feel like R.J. Barrett is going to be one of those guys that's, you know, in the all-star conversation for years to come.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he didn't shoot well last night, but he made plays down the stretch last
night. Oh, yeah.
Night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he hit the big three, and then my favorite play, I'm sure you guys feel the same way, is when, I mean, Beal mugged him.
Oh, yeah, that and one?
Yeah,
oh,
he gets the and one.
Yeah, that was a big-time play.
And then they asked him after the game, too, which I liked. And they go, you know, physically where you're at, it seems like you're at a whole new level. And he's like, that's work. He's like, two or three times in the gym a day, and it's paying off on the court.
That's
what you love about this team. Like, this is the kind of player that, you know, Thibs is trying to get here, is guys, yeah. Like, he keeps saying gym rats. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that enjoy, you know, enjoy playing with each other, and on top of the fact that, you know, they're actually willing to do what it takes day in and day out to have, because it's not easy what they're doing, David, isn't
it? There's nothing flashy about this team, though, Rico. Nothing at all. There aren't any divas. There is no guy that's like, it's not a sizzle type of thing. Like, these guys are very workmanlike in terms of their approach. And you see it come play out in the games. Like, they literally walked the Wizards down last night. When they couldn't buy a basket, when they couldn't hit the side of a barn, like, they found a way to be able to put points on the board to close the gap late in the third and to be within striking distance in the fourth, and then ended up making shots late to win that game. So you got to appreciate the way that they went about it. And coming into this week, we said it, the Knicks needed to win these two games against the Wizards, and it's mission accomplished. So as a fan of the team, you should feel good about that.
Absolutely. And then tomorrow night, you look at it, you say you're in Milwaukee, and you don't expect to win that game. But if you do, that'd be unbelievable. And if not, you know, just go and compete, right? I mean, we're still realistic with this club.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Birthday today. Marcus Allen turns how old?
Who, Marcus Allen? You said you want to feel old.
Yep.
He looks great, though.
He looks unbelievable. How old is Marcus Allen?
So I'm 30.
I'm going to say 65.
So Rick? I'm 35. So that would make Marcus.
You're
Allen.
Not 35. I'm like walking up there and say, Rick's 35. I'm like, wait a minute, Rick is not 35.
I will.
You
say
got a big
is...
one coming up, by the way, huh?
No. I'll say 60. 60 years old.
Rick, you win both showcases.
Yes.
He is 61 years old today. Mm. Marcus Allen is 61.
That's kind of crazy.
Right?
We're not young anymore, Dave, especially you.
No, I'm not. I mean, I am well past half my life.
Nah, but I feel like, I mean, you got strong genes. I think you're going at least... I would put you close to a hundo.
No way. I don't want to go a hundo. No. No way.
Well, if you have all your faculties, why wouldn't you want to go a hundo if you have all your faculties? If your mind is right?
That's fine. But what are the odds that I'm 98 years old and I got everything? You think I'll be Betty White?
You could be. Well, my grandmother's well into her 90s. I mean, she's going to bingo. I mean,
I won't be allowed to go to bingo. They'll ban me from bingo.
Why would they ban you from bingo?
I don't gamble. I'm not allowed to gamble.
You can play bingo when you're not. Like,
I don't know. It could be like a gateway drug. You don't want to get involved with bingo.
Yeah, but you're not going to, at 98, you're not capable of running off to Vegas or anything crazy.
Who knows? You just said I'm going to be fully functional at 98.
I didn't mean fully functional where you can just all of a sudden jump on a plane and then just go to Vegas and get crazy like the old Dave Rothenberg.
Could you imagine that? 98-year-old Dave Rothenberg in Vegas?
The scary part is I could. It'd be like Weekend at Bernie's where we'd be dragging you around.
Love to see it.
You'd be dragging me around. You'd be like 90.
Yeah, but I'd be a spry 90.
A spry 90. Please. You're not a spry 39.
No, I'm a 38. No, I'm in bad shape. What do you want me to tell you? That's why I'm saying you have a much better chance of living longer.
I don't know.
You're like a veal. You don't really work out. I mean, you just...
I got on the treadmill 2 days ago.
Yeah, but 2 days ago. Why not yesterday?
Because I went on 2 days ago. I just told you. I can go on back-to-back days.
Why?
Alberto Salazar? No, I'm not going to get on back-to-back days. I got on Wednesday. I'll get on today. Chris, there's nothing wrong with getting on Wednesday, taking Thursday off, and getting back on Friday.
Yeah, but Dave, you might as well just go ahead and do it on Thursday, too. I don't understand why you need the day off. It's not like you're running a marathon when you get on there in the first place.
No, but yeah. I did almost 3 miles on Wednesday.
Yeah, but look how it's paid off for Graziano. Every time he comes on, all you talk about is his streak on Peloton.
Well, he looks unbelievable. He almost looks too skinny if something like that is possible.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm just thinking because we got such a great sales department. If all of a sudden now, because you didn't get the Peloton, you got a different brand.
We got a Nordic Track, Nordic Track.
Well, quote, now we can make a big deal that Dave hasn't missed a day on the Nordic Track, and now I mean you look great. So maybe Nordic Track decides they want to do something with the show.
So I have to facilitate the sponsorship from Nordic Track.
I mean, you're already halfway there, Dave.
Yeah,
you're using
the
equipment.
It's a beautiful piece of machinery, by the way.
Canty's got the Peloton now.
I don't know if we can say that I've got the Peloton. There is a Peloton in my household.
You've used it, though, no?
What'd you say, Dave?
You've used it.
No, I've used it before, but, I mean, she's doing multiple classes every day. I mean, you know, she's trying to get that wedding day fit thing going on. So, you know, I have to actually schedule an appointment to use the Peloton.
That's funny.
Mike, get ready for that. That's the new obsession, I promise you, Chris.
What's that?
The new obsession. The wedding body?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's, I mean, that's...
You know what the problem is now? So Sherry was, she looked unbelievable at the wedding, but she weighed like nothing. So now every time she compares what her weight is, she's like, well, I'm 9 pounds more than I was at the wedding. I was like, at the wedding, you looked so skinny. Like, you don't want to look like that. It might have been too skinny. She's like, that was my wedding weight. I want to get back there. So that could be something that you have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure if we want to start airing out how much our wives weigh on the radio.
I didn't get into numbers.
Right?
I didn't get into numbers. Listen, she looks great now. She looks wonderful now. I'm just saying that's her. If that's your goal, it becomes very difficult to try to always get back to where you were on your wedding day.
Yeah, because you work like hell. I mean, that was the same thing for your bar mitzvah. Like, that was when you wanted to look your best. For your wedding, you want to look your best. I mean, I would have a hard time imagining. And, I mean, that's not easy to get back there, especially as you get older.
Right, exactly. All right, can I do this read, which you interrupted me with?
I would
first
love
time?
It, yeah.
All right, it's about the Michael Kay Show. I mean, your favorite show in the world. You really want to go there, and it's obvious. The Michael Kay Show's Drop Madness continues today. Have your dials tuned into 98.7 ESPN at 3 o'clock and be ready to cast votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Is it fair to say, honestly, that you desperately want to be on that show?
No.
Yeah. Nothing has ever been more obvious to me.
No, I enjoy listening to it. I mean, it's good timing for me.
You're like the fourth host?
I'm not like the fourth host.
Rick says this. Oh, I got a text from DiPietro. Oh, look at this. Rick has chimed in.
I actually felt so bad, like I couldn't even say any, like I couldn't even send funny jokes yesterday just because of the whole Carlin, the whole Carlin incident the day before. Like, Peter looked broken yesterday. Like, mentally, he couldn't handle anything more.
I was disgusted by Carlin, by the way, yesterday.
Why? I mean, because he was so critical.
And he apologized. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done it. It was a bad job by me. Come on. He didn't accidentally destroy Peter. He meant to destroy him. So own it.
Yeah, I mean, it was vicious. But I mean, that was he was.
But you think it was an accident? You think it came out of nowhere?
So you're calling Carlin a fraud? That's what you're doing right now.
In that instance, yes, I think Carlin is absolutely a fraud. Mm, okay. He called him up. He destroyed him. Peter got wildly aggressive. It was haymakers are being thrown. And the next day,
I stripped joy from your life.
The next day, he calls and he falls on the sword and apologizes. Yes, in that moment, I was very disappointed in Carlin.
Dave, why don't you quit while you're ahead? I mean, don't you have already enough beef with on-air hosts at 98.7? I mean, you and this Michael K thing, now you're taking shots at Carlin. Just let it alone, man.
Well, because you got to take shots at somebody. What do you just want to kumbaya? Everybody be.
Yes. I want us all to get along. Let's just all get along. Let's just all get along.
And K is not because of me. Michael has an issue with me. I never said anything negative about Michael. He comes after me for some unfounded reason.
I like all the beef. I like all the beef.
You want all the smoke?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We can attack KJZ today if you want. You just tell me who you want to attack, and I'm with you.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to be with us if we want to attack K.
That's not
going to happen.
That's not what you'll do. I know how.
Why is the beef?
You will. You say we'll attack anybody. You will push me out to take the bullets, and then I will get attacked, and then you'll say, "I don't know why you would do something like that," and then you'll back away.
That's exactly it.
I mean, you're unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't have to listen. I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than you.
You just want to stir the pot, Rico. That's all you want to do. Stir the pot. Wind Dave Rothenberg up and watch him dance. That's all you want.
Yeah, I'm a pawn in your game of life. I'm not falling for it anymore. I'm not going after people unless I want to go after them. That's it. All right, Tom Thibodeau. I don't want to go after him. I want to hear from him. Alec Burks, the analysis, and this man at this moment does everything for the Knicks.
And just the way Alec plays, he doesn't start, but he's always oftentimes finishing, and that's probably the most important thing. And he's another guy that's willing to do whatever you ask of him. And he always puts the team first. And we have a number of guys like that. It's hard not to respect those type of players. Those are winning players.
He's been great. I mean, he was a guy to start the season that I kind of laughed about. I'm like, oh, like they're going to get anything from Alec Burks. He's a good player. Like, I like watching him play basketball, and he contributes a ton to this team right now.
Well, yeah, he was the catalyst with that second unit. And then he's a guy that actually did have, an okay shooting night. Especially when you had Reggie Bullock out of the lineup, like you needed somebody that can knock down those mid-range and long-range jumpers, and that was Burks last night. I mean, and he was phenomenal in that fourth quarter, being able to use those screens by Taj Gibson and hit those shots right there at the elbow. Like those were big-time plays on a night where the Knicks struggled offensively. So yeah, I don't think you can say enough about Alex Burks and the role that he's taken with this team, like just being willing to step up and play point guard if they need him to be in the starting lineup if they need him to do that, or to come off the bench. Like it just he's a selfless player. But this team has that type of attitude. Like you can tell they all like playing with one another, and as a result. Friday,
oh, nice. It's Friday. We'll party tonight.
And as a result, you end up having a team that's competitive most nights.
Yeah, but don't forget, Dave, too. I mean, early on in the season, before he got hurt, I mean, he was their second-best offensive player.
I know, but I never expected this. I can't believe we're in a world where Alec Burks is a guy that you watch, you appreciate, and when he comes in the game, you actually feel confident about now.
Well, but you need, I mean, especially now, I mean, being where they're at with no Derrick Rose, right? And you needed somebody to step up. And to Chris's point, I mean, his versatility has been great for them.
What is he, like 4 or 5 games in a row where he scored 20 points or more?
I think that was 5 last night, 5 in a row. And he was huge down the stretch. He had done big free throws down the stretch.
He's a good defensive player. Yeah, good, and they actually hit their free throws down the stretch. They wouldn't have been in that position had they hit them during the game.
Yeah, but that's what was crazy about last night in that fourth quarter. He headed into the fourth quarter, they had shot terribly. They couldn't make free throws. I mean, from three, they were abysmal. They won 1 of 17 at one point last night.
Yeah.
And then late in that game, they hit a couple big threes, quickly hit a big three. R.J. Barrett hit a big three.
That was a big one,
and then they
yep.
made all their free throws down the stretch. But this is a team that the reason why they give themselves these opportunities is because they play so hard on a nightly basis.
Yep.
And they compete. And that's not easy to do. It isn't. I mean, in theory, it sounds like that's easy to do. But in reality, to show up the way they show up every, pretty much every single night,
Every night.
I mean, very rarely do they get. I mean, you had that one Milwaukee game to start the second half that they got blown out. But, I mean, for the most part, they're in every single one of these games.
Every single night. And they weren't even in the game last night, and they came back and were in the game and wound up winning it. It was great.
Well, you're not supposed to. They should not have won the game last night.
No. They were down 17 midway through the third quarter, weren't they?
The way they shot. I mean, I think it was just over 5 minutes left in the third quarter. They were down 17 points. But the way they shot last night.
Oh, they were terrible.
They were awful. I mean, they shot 37%. And they missed. I mean, they missed 11 free throws last night. Those aren't games you're supposed to win.
No. You had no business winning that game. But that's the sign of, again, you can say what level of good, but that's a sign of good teams. When you play like crap, and they did. They were awful last night. And still win the game, and your best player is horrendous. That's impressive, to be honest with you.
Well, they didn't let go of the rope, Dave. And I think there's something to be said about that, the way that this team is being coached. Like in years past, when the Knicks get down in a game like that, there was no chance that they were going to claw their way back in it. But the fact that they're willing to continue to fight back and make it a fourth quarter game and then come out on the winning end of that game, I think it just speaks to the culture that Thibodeau has set with this squad. So again, when you start talking about the outlook of this team, yeah, I get that everybody's focused on wanting to be in the playoffs and not having to deal with the play-in tournament. But the trajectory of this organization is pointed up. Like, there's no way as a fan that you couldn't love what's happening with your team right now.
Couldn't agree more. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Anthony, good morning. You're next up.
Hey, good morning, guys. I agree with you. You know, yesterday, you know, they come out flat. You know, obviously they beat them a couple days ago, and so they come out flat, and so you know, but at no time do you sort of like think that they can't come back. I mean, I think I kind of felt that they could come back. Started getting worried there late. Nice to see Barrett showing some emotion. But you know, and I'm sort of happy that they didn't make any big moves, because I mean, they make a big move, maybe it solidifies them to get to the playoffs. They most likely get bumped in the first round anyway. So why kind of ruin something that's special? But it's nice to see this team, you know, playing the way they're playing. And they give, you know, like you guys said a couple days ago, you know, they're going to give a really good team a hard time. And they're winning the games that you expect them to win. So you really can't ask for much more at this point.
No.
Yeah, I don't know why. Why is it such a foregone conclusion? That if, and I'm not heartbroken they didn't make a move with the deadline. I mean, from everything that I read and was told, like, I mean, what New Orleans was asking for Lonzo Ball was...
What were they looking for Lonzo?
Like, way too much. Like way more than, especially because he's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would make no sense. Like, if the Knicks will monitor the situation and they can make an offer this offseason. But, I mean, the way the Knicks play is actually more conducive to playoff basketball. Like, yep. When the game slows down, and, I mean, now all of a sudden you're talking about kind of a defensive, grinded-out style of basketball. Game.
But here's the thing. In most series, they're probably not going to be the more talented team.
Yeah.
Which is fine. How many series are the Islanders the more talented team in?
Yeah.
Rico, I hear you, but here's the thing. We don't think the Knicks are going to finish in the fourth or fifth seed, right? We don't see them being a team that's going to finish there,
Miami's
right?
Miami's going to get that.
Yeah, I think Miami's right. Going to walk them down, and we'll see what happens with Atlanta and Boston. So if they're going to be 6, 7, 8, you don't like their chances against the top three seeds in the East in the first round.
No, but his point was that, like, he said he was okay with that they didn't make a move, because even if they made a move, it wasn't like they were going to win a first-round playoff series. I don't definitively know that.
No, I don't know that either. If you added a legitimate piece, I think a playoff series is possible.
Well, I don't. I mean, again, if you got to play Philadelphia, Milwaukee, or Brooklyn, you're not going to win a playoff series.
No.
Yeah. So no. I don't. Yeah. Odds are
you're not going to.
But if you finish in the four, but if all of a sudden you finish in the 4 or 5 seed, and you're matched up, and again, do I like their chances? Probably. I mean, if they're playing Miami, probably not.
No.
But still, I mean, it's going to be an entertaining series. And I think the way that what my biggest thing would be, and Chris knows this because he's played for coaches that coach you hard, it only helps to reinforce their message when you have success. And getting into a legitimate playoff series and actually having a good series would only reinforce what Thibs is trying to do here.
Oh, no question about it. It'd be like what happened with the Nets a couple of years ago when they had that playoff series against the Sixers. I mean, that was when we said, you know what, the Nets have finally kind of turned the corner as an organization when they made D'Angelo Russell an all-star. Like, you're hoping that that's what's happening with the Knicks. I mean, Julius Randle became an all-star this year. Them getting it turned around, them being in the playoffs, that changes the perception around NBA circles of who and what this organization is all about.
Do you think it's changed now? Do you think right now, NBA circles, the Knicks are completely looked at differently?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And really?
Yeah.
That's all I wanted for the whole season. Like, anything at this point now is gravy. If players around the NBA look at the Knicks and say, oh, that's a place that we're not opposed to going to, that's a place we would like to go to, the Knicks have already won the season.
I mean, just look at what they turned Julius Randle into, Dave. I mean, I give him credit because he put in the work, but look at the guidance that this organization is giving him with Tibbs and his staff. Look at what R.J. Barrett is becoming. Like, I mean, as a player, you want to go someplace where the infrastructure is in place in order for you to realize your full potential. Like, that's what you want. That's why Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving ended up going to Brooklyn. Like, they felt like this was a place where they could build their own legacy, but this organization would make sure that they put everything around them in order to have success at the highest level. That's what you want to turn into if you're in the Knicks.
Yep.
And it feels like they're on their way.
It really does. Alan Holbrook. Al, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Two quick tidbits. One is, I was very impressed with the Knicks beating Washington. I mean, I know Washington is a lowly team, but at least it gives the Knicks insight to what a playoff game would look like, because often you don't play the same team twice. You know what I'm saying? And players like Barrett and these guys are only not losing. You know, this is a good test for them. And the second tidbit is, I was really, really happy. No one's talking about it, how Leon Rose's reaction was after the game. He was jumping up and down. That's a far cry from Phil Jackson sleeping in stands, you know? I was very happy that Leon Rose is happy with his job, the job he's doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about polar opposites, and thanks for the call, Al. You couldn't have more polar opposites of how you felt and what the job was that Phil Jackson did and where you are with Leon Rose. I mean, Phil Jackson was just, he was terrible. He really was.
Well, I'm not really sure if Phil Jackson even wanted the job.
I think they just threw so much money at him, he had no choice but to take it, right?
Yeah, he had no choice. Like. Yeah, I mean, and then when all of a sudden he took over, I mean, there was obviously a part of him that wanted to still be coaching and making those decisions. Like, he's running triangle camps and everything else. Like, that's not what you needed, right? I mean,
this is what you needed.
Well, but yeah, this is what you needed right now in this moment. Now, I mean, Leon Rose is unproven at the position, but he's got unbelievable relationships. So does Worldwide West. I think the most important thing is that they hired the right coach for what they needed. Right? It's the same.
He's great. He's great.
I hate to make the comparison because I know it drives you crazy because you're a Rangers fan, but this has a real Islander vibe about it.
That doesn't upset me. Listen, I don't like the Islanders as an organization, as like having the history that I have with them and the amount of pain they've caused me. But I'm not an idiot. I don't look at the Islanders and say they're not well run. I mean, Lamoriello is great. Trotz is great. And they get as much as they possibly could have out of the talent they have. So I think it's a great comparison. If the Knicks could be the Islanders, I mean, I would sign on for that in a heartbeat.
It's the great part about New York sports. You get to see both ends of the spectrum when it comes to how you run a team.
Yeah, and then there's some teams that just try to copy each other, like when the Giants try to morph into the Jets.
Oh, come on, man. Really? That's what we're doing?
He can't. He thinks that just the same joke every time, people are just driving around in hysterics. Like, I'm sure there are people crashing on the BQE. It's the same Barkley second overall. It's hysterical. It's not funny.
So Dave, let me ask you guys this question, because I was just asking the guys behind the glass the same thing. Who screwed up their franchise more, Phil Jackson or Adam Gase?
Can we throw McCagnan in that mix too?
Wow. Phil.
You going to say Phil?
Yes, I think. I don't know.
Well, kind of the same things happened, though. I mean, in all honesty, kind of the same things happened. Right? Like, you let Mike Maccagnan go through the draft, spend all the money, and then you fire him.
Because Adam Gase won that power struggle, though, right? That was an Adam Gase thing.
No, but then, I mean, then you had Phil, they allowed Phil to draft Neil Aquina, and then they fired him.
Do they have 11 championships to show you when they talk about that?
No, they don't,
Phil. I hate that soundbite. That soundbite gets me so angry, so obnoxious.
You're a bad guy! You started with me!
Ridiculous. ridiculous. Do they have 11 championships like I have? You're a disaster as a general manager.
Ask Phil.
Yeah, kind of sounds like Dave Gettleman, though. He was right. Talking about his football philosophy.
Yeah, no, it does. It's also frustrating. It's like Gettleman without the rings, right? That's exactly what it is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.